So actually, and I don't know whether it went on there, it actually is the scripture he was referring to is in Isaiah 52:2, and he says, "Rise from dust, O Jerusalem, sit in a place of honor, remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." So, ladies, we're free. We're no longer bound, but we're free. And I don't know if any of you have been told you can't, you've been told you're a woman, you can't do it, you whatever you've been told, we're free. And he just told us in this prophecy, he said that we were going to start the fire. That excites me. And it's going to burn in your homes. It's going to burn in the men. They're going to catch fire too. So if you got men in your home that need a little catching fire, you start it. Too many times, us ladies have sat back and said, well, what can I do? There's a lot you can do. You know, when God created man, he created them in the likeness of him. Them meaning male and female. So he created us to do a work, and we can do it. So I want to encourage you to step up and do what God has called you to do. He's got a call on all of us, and he wants us to step up. You know, there's no... the time that we're living in and what's going on in our nation and in our world, it's time for us ladies to step up and pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. I'm teaching the kids in children's church. I'm saying, hey, look, you can pray for the president. You can pray that he has wisdom. Think if we got all of these kids to pray in, what it would do. What if us ladies stood up and took our place and said, we're praying for our nation? What would happen? Why are we waiting? Why is it up to the husband or the men or whatever to do it? Why can't we do it? He's going to raise this church to another level because of the fire that he's set amongst us ladies. So let's catch the fire and let's go. Let's get with it. Let's step up and do it. So that's why I want to talk to you tonight about exceptional you. When something is exceptional, it means it's better than good. It's outstanding, unusual, not typical, extraordinary. So the exceptional stands out from the crowd. And it's something to be celebrated. You were made by God to be exceptional. Now, how come you could stand up and say, yes, I was made by God to be exceptional? Well, if you're like me, you know, oh, well, I don't know, I got a flaw here and a flaw there, and I did this and I did that. But he made us to be exceptional. He wants us to stand out in the crowd. He didn't make us to just be ordinary. He made us to be extraordinary. So turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we're God's handiwork. We're God's masterpiece. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He prepared it in advance. He already knew what he was going to have us do. So you know what? If we're a masterpiece, we're extraordinary. If you've got a masterpiece at home or something that's extra, it's extraordinary. Now, we don't have any paintings or anything like that, but we like to collect porcelain, painted porcelain. And they're masterpieces. They're signed. They're one of a kind. They're not made on an assembly line like a lot of our stuff that we get today. So, ladies, we're not made on an assembly line. He created each one of us special. We're an original. We all have a job to do. He gave each one of us a special job to do. No two of us are the same. So don't compare yourself with somebody else because he didn't make you to be somebody else. If he wanted you to be somebody else, he'd have made you that way. But he didn't do that. He made you special. He designed you to be unique and exceptional. But too often we lose sight of who God made us to be. We don't recognize the individual gifts and talents that God has placed in us. And if we're not careful, we allow our God-given attributes to be reduced in our own minds, causing us to see ourselves as merely average, mediocre, or mundane. Have you ever done that? You'll say, well, look at them. They're doing this and they're doing that. But God didn't call you to do this and that. What did he call you to do? He gave you gifts and talents that are unique to you, that he wants you to use. And God doesn't want us to be ordinary in our thinking or in the way we live our lives. He wants us to be exceptional in every way. He wants us to expect more from ourselves and from him. Are you expecting more from him? Or are you just going, well, this is just me? And no, he wants you to be exceptional. He wants you to stand out. He wants you to strive for more and to be the very best that he created you to be. Every day is a new day with God. His mercies are fresh every morning. So, regardless of what difficulties you find yourself in or what you're going through or what you've done wrong, God's by your side and he's always offering you a new day. I mean, we all make mistakes, okay? None of us are perfect. But are we letting those mistakes and those difficulties keep us from being extraordinary? Yeah, we are. Because we're thinking, well, I goofed up today. God can't use me. Hey, he used Peter. He used Paul. Paul killed the Christians. He used him. Well, we haven't done anything that bad, so he can surely use us. He looks at our heart. He's got gifts and talents in there, and he's saying, ladies, I want you to use them. I put them in there. You can do it. And yeah, we all face challenges and unfair situations. But you know what? If we're willing to take steps of faith and place them in the hands of God, then that's when the exceptional is produced. All of us, you know, we've all had things happen. None of us have had a perfect life. But what are we doing with the life that we have? Are we letting those things that we've done? Are we letting those difficulties? Are we letting those unfair situations or those things that happen to us cloud our vision of what God has for us to do? Tonight he told us to step out. So he needs for us to step out. Because it's easy for us to go through life thinking, well, I'm just average. I'm ordinary. You know, there's nothing special about me. I'm a little too heavy. I'm not pretty. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. I'm just one of the 6 billion people that's here on earth. No, when God created you, he created you in his image. When he created man, he created the human being in his own image. So we look like God. We are like God. We have the DNA of God in us. We're destined to do great things. Because he put part of himself in us. So there's nothing average about us. There's nothing average about God. So there's nothing average about us. But we're not recognizing who we are. And we're focusing on the mistakes we've made. Maybe you're saying, well, I came from this certain kind of family. I'll never amount to anything. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks. So we settle for mediocrity when we were created for greatness. Because it's in my heart that you ladies would step up and be what God's created you to be. And I know it's easy for us to feel like we don't amount to anything. You know, maybe we've made some mistakes. Maybe we've said some things. Maybe people have said things about us or to us or lied about us. And so it's hard for us to overcome those. But you know what? We can overcome. He put greatness on the inside of us. And we need to see ourselves that way. We need to see ourselves that we have greatness in our genes. I come from a bloodline of champions. But we don't see ourselves that way, do we? But we can, and we should, because we do have the bloodline of a champion in us. Because we got God in us. You know, if you look at the athletes, the ones that play sports, basketball, football, baseball, tennis, whatever, the really good athletes, they know that they're good. They know that they can do it. Why? They know they're a champion. And they embrace that. I'm a champion. I got so many Super Bowl rings or won so many tennis matches or whatever it is. And we need to do the same thing. Hey, I'm a champion. I'm a child of God. And I'm just like He is. I got His strength. I got His power. I got His anointing. I got His knowledge and wisdom and spirit. His spirit lives inside of me. We need to see ourselves that way. Now, He has each of us on a path, and no two of us are the same. But the destination God has for all of us is victory. And when we're faithful, what God has placed in our hands, and don't allow it to become mundane or ordinary, then we're living exceptional. So live this truth today. You are exceptional. And the next time the thought comes along and says, you aren't exceptional, you don't amount to anything, you don't know anything, stand up and say, I am exceptional. I am a child of God. I have the DNA of God flowing through my veins. I am a champion. Your life will change because you'll see yourself differently. You know, as ladies, we have to know that we're chosen. And in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family, or the Amplified says, as His own children, by bringing us to Himself through Christ Jesus. He handpicked you and brought you into His family through Jesus Christ. He chose to adopt you because it pleased Him to call you His daughter. So we need to give up every day and remind ourselves that the Creator of the universe chose me and I'm valuable to Him. Not get up and go, oh, well, it's just another day and what do I have to offer and I'm not worth anything and I made this mistake and I failed here and whatever. Don't talk like that. Talk like you're a child of God. I was thinking about this, and several years ago, I had a couple little girls in Wednesday night Sunday school class, and they would come and they loved to dress up. Okay, so the minute they'd come in, they'd put on the little fancy. We got some dress up clothes, and they'd put on their dress, and they made sure that they had on their heels. You know, they would walk around like this with their heels on, and they put on their beads, and they had their purse, and put on their headband, and of course they had their, I mean, they acted like they were a princess. And you know what? In their eyes, they were a princess. As they were walking around the room and playing, they were playing the role of a princess. And you know what? They didn't look at it and go, well, I'm too little to be a princess. Or I live in South Dakota, I can't be a princess. No, you couldn't tell them they weren't a princess. They were walking around like they were a princess. They were acting like they were a princess. They put out the teacups and stuff. They were having a tea party. They were a princess, okay? Now we need to see ourselves the same way. Do we see ourselves as the princess or as the queen? Do you? Do I see myself as the queen, Pastor Larry? I said it for you. You can be honest.
I'm not preaching.
We don't see ourselves as the queen. What about the Queen of England? She knows she's the queen. And you know, it's kind of interesting to read some of the articles about her, because if she holds her purse a certain way, that means a certain thing. Either it's time to leave, it's time for the discussion to be over with, or whatever. She knows who she is. But you know what? We don't look at ourselves and go, well, I'm queen. I'm a child of God. Do we? We don't see ourselves that way. And why not? Because we're letting the devil convince us that we're not. And we are. Life has a way of trying to bring us down and to cause us to forget our true identity. People judge us, leave us out, make us feel unqualified, but none of that determines who we are. God has already called you and qualified you. And yeah, we've made mistakes. And we're still going to make mistakes, even as the queen or as God's princess. We're going to make mistakes because we live in this world, okay? But it's okay. We've got another day. We can repent, and He forgives us. We need to take off the negative labels that people have put on us. Quit beating ourselves up for things that we can't change. You know what you did yesterday? You can't change anything about yesterday. Why are we so concentrated on what happened yesterday? We can't change yesterday. But we can change today, and we can change tomorrow. God wants you to move forward in your faith, believing that you are chosen, you're exceptional, and you're well able to do what He's called you to do. When the prophet came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel, David was a young shepherd boy. And Jesse invited his seven older sons, the brothers of David, to stand before Samuel. And Samuel looked at all of them, and by the looks of them, they looked like they would be the next king. Samuel goes down the line and goes, nope. He says, you got any more sons? David says, well, yeah, I got, or David, Jesse says, I've got another son. He's out tending the sheep. He said, go call him in. Well, of course, when he came in, when David walked in, Samuel said, that's the one. Now, how do you think David felt when he walked in his house and saw all his other brothers there? They'd been called to be in front of Samuel to see if they were the next king, and he got left out in the shepherd field? How do you think he felt? He probably felt, well, how come I didn't get called in? What's wrong with me? He could have been upset that he was overlooked. He could put his head down thinking, well, I guess nobody believes in me. Why should I believe in myself? But David didn't have that attitude. He decided, if I'm chosen to be king, I'm going to believe that I'm king. God had already chosen David to be king of Israel long before he was tending his father's sheep out in the fields. And just because David's father didn't recognize the calling on his life didn't change the fact that he was already chosen. His family might have counted him out, but God had already counted him in. He didn't look like the next king. He was too young. He didn't have the training or the experience. But nothing could keep David from being the next king. So nothing can keep you from being the child of God that God has called you to be. I don't care what they've said about you. I don't care what you've done. God knows it. He chose you. He put his DNA inside of you and his likeness of himself in you. And you can go and do. Now, it may not happen overnight, and it probably won't. David had to go back to being a shepherd. It was quite some time before he was actually king. But nothing could stop David from being king. Even his father not calling him in, that had no bearing on it. Because God had chosen David to be the next king. So you're called. You're chosen by God. And so nothing can disqualify you from God's plan. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what your boss says. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What your family says, doesn't matter. When God's called you, nothing can change it. He's going to see that you get where he wants you to go. Nothing has the power to change God's plan for your life. So don't let people tell you you can't. And you've all had people say you can't. Maybe as a kid you grew up in a home where your parents told you you couldn't do it. You'd never amount to anything. Well, that's not true because you're a child of God. And to be exceptional, we have to know who we are and whose we are. We have to know, hey, God chose me. I'm his child. He's going to use me. It doesn't matter what I feel like. I might not feel like getting up here tonight. I can tell you that it's been difficult having the opportunity to really sit down with this message. And I could say, well, I can't do it. No. The prophecy came forth and said, I got a call. And I got to fulfill that call that he placed on my life. I'm going to go, I'm going to do it, and he's going to come along with me. He's helping me. And if I back down, it's not for my benefit. And I won't be happy not doing what he's called me to do. Even though sometimes I feel like, no, I really don't have the anointing on me. I don't feel like I'm called. I'm just like you. I have to go through the same feelings and everything that you have to go through. You might think, oh, well, you know, she stands up there and, you know, everything's cool with her. No, it's not. I struggle just like you do. I'm not worth anything, you know. Oh, I cry to Pastor Larry, but he doesn't give me any sympathy. Straighten up, and you know what you're supposed to, not that bad, but I mean, no, he doesn't do it like that, but he doesn't give me any sympathy. No, that he doesn't give me. And I don't, sympathy doesn't help, okay? This pity party and woe is me doesn't work. God doesn't want us to be woe is me and have a pity party. You know? He wants us to go to work. He says, look, I've called you. I've anointed you. I've appointed you. Get going. You got everything you need. Now go do it. We have to continue to remind ourselves that we are chosen, and don't let the difficulties change our mind. Okay? Don't let people try to talk you out of what God has called you to do. It's important that you protect what is on your life. You carry a great anointing, and so hold your head up high, put your shoulders back, adjust that crown, because you are a queen or a princess, whatever you want to be. If you want your little scepter here and that, you are. Don't let anybody take it from you. It's yours. And what's happened is us ladies have not stood up and taken our place. And God's wanting us to do that. He's saying, hey, you're chosen by God. You're a child of God. You've been anointed. You've been appointed. You've been called. Now get going. And we are exceptional. Even though we don't feel like it, even though it doesn't look like it, that's what when faith comes into play. Okay? I don't feel like it, I don't look like it, but I am anointed. I am exceptional. He declares that his plans for me are good, to prosper and not harm me, and to give me a future and a hope. Now, in a little over a week, Pastor Larry and I are going to Tracy's. And so you know what? I'm getting my bag packed. I've got stuff laid out in the spare bedroom of what I'm going to take, okay? So I'm going to get my bag packed, and I'm going to be ready to go, and I'm going to make sure that I get everything that I need. So I don't want to get there and not have the right clothes. I don't want to get there and not have my makeup. I don't want to get there and not have my jammies. I want to be sure I got everything, okay? So I'm going to pack my suitcase. Okay, back to the lesson. But do you know what? God has your bags packed, and he's left nothing out. So as you travel down the highway of life, you're going to have everything that you need. He's put everything in your suitcase that you're going to need for the anointing, for the call that he has on your life. You're going to have the right talents. You're going to have the right gifts, the right personality. You're going to have the qualities you need to have successful relationships, a good career, and a strong family. Everything you need is in your suitcase. He's already packed it up for you. Okay? We got it. Okay? Lady, have you got everything you need? We got everything we need. But what happens? We forget to unpack our suitcase. If I get to Tracy's house and I go, oh, Larry, I forgot my clothes. I forgot to bring shorts. I forgot to bring long pants. It's in my suitcase. Now, that'd be pretty stupid, wouldn't it? Because it's in my suitcase. And I got my suitcase. I mean, I paid my $30 to take my suitcase with me. Okay, so I got my clothes and my... All I got to do is unzip it and take it out. Well, that's all you need. You need to unzip the suitcase and take out what you need to do what he's called you to do. He didn't go, well, you know what? You need to go do that, but not give you the gifts or the talents or what you need to do it. He gave you everything that you need to do what he's asking you to do. He's packed the bag, but we're not unpacking it. The right gifts, the right talents, the right things we need are right there. But you know why we're not unpacking it? Because of fears and insecurities. Has he ever asked you to do something and you go, oh no, I can't do that. I'm too afraid, I might make a mistake. Well, that might not be God. So we don't unpack it. Now he gave it to you. It's right here. He paid the money for you to have the suitcase and all that you need. And you're going, well, I know, no, I can't do it. It might not work. He's going, oh, this daughter of mine, I gave her everything that she needs, and now she won't open the suitcase and do it. So we have to push past the fears and the mistakes and the excuses in order to develop what God has placed in us. We have to push past the fears, the insecurities. Because God has placed in us what we need, and we just need to do it. You might feel pressured today. You might feel some discomfort. You've got an important decision about the future. But remind yourself you have everything that you need, everything that it takes to make the decision that you need to make. So you got to reach, unzip the suitcase, and reach down in there and get what you need. It's there. And your faith may feel like it's being tested and pushed to the extreme. Have you ever been there? You feel, oh my goodness, you know, can I do this? Yes, you can, because the trying of your faith brings out the lasting character in your life and builds confidence you cannot attain any other way. It's just like a piece of coal that becomes a precious diamond. It's the pressure that that coal has endured that turns it from an ordinary piece of coal into a rare and priceless jewel. And the pressure you may be facing isn't going to break you. It's going to make you into a diamond. It's going to develop you and give you the experiences you need to build your confidence. Honor God and believe you have what it takes to shine brightly for Him. Now, some of our gifts and talents are easily recognizable. We know. Probably if I talked to each one of you, you could tell me a gift or a talent that you had. You know, that's recognizable. But some of us have some that are not so recognizable. They have to be developed. It's like an acorn. You know, that acorn is pretty small. But when that acorn is developed, what does it become? A big oak tree. So there are some talents in there that we're going to have to develop. And so don't discount what God has given you. And don't not develop some of those talents that are still little acorns that He's wanting to develop in you. Because it's time to develop those and mature so that you can be everything that He's called you to be. And how you see yourself is going to determine whether or not you reach your potential. Because God has created you in His image and crowned you with His favor, but too often we allow our limitations, our weaknesses, the things that have happened to us, the things that we've done, how we were treated, mistakes that we've made, distort that image. We don't see ourselves as God sees us. We don't see ourselves as that princess that I was telling you about, those little girls saw themselves. So just imagine yourself putting on that pretty little princess dress. Now, Tiffany, I know you don't like them pretty little frilly dresses that we used to dress you in. But sorry, honey, you were a girl, and you were the first grandchild, and you had to wear them pretty dresses, okay? That's just the way it was. But see yourself being that princess, having on those pretty glittery shoes, And that pretty tiara, you know, and pretty jewelry, and those pretty purses, glittery purses, you know, that you carry when you're going to something really special. You need to see yourself. That's what God created. He created you like that, and we need to see ourselves. Don't see yourself as ordinary. We've reached our limits. God can't use me. I'm too old. You know, I could say, at 72 years old, I'm too old to do anything anymore. Hey, I haven't done nothing yet. People are always asking us, well, when are you going to retire? Our neighbor lady says, you guys are really old. When are you going to retire? You guys work too hard. We said, we're not retiring. What am I going to? I'm not a person that's going to sit around and play cards all day long or whatever. I'm sorry, but that's not me. Okay, I'm going to work until Jesus calls me home. And I said, if you can't keep me healthy, take me home. You know, but I'm going to work. I got things to do. I got places to go. I got people to save. I'm not retiring. I'm sitting around doing nothing, all right? I was born into royalty. We're created to reign in life. God crowned us with honor. Are you seeing yourself that way? Or because of disappointments and unfair situations and setbacks, we've taken off our crowns and we're living a life that's just ho-hum. We're frustrated, we're stressed out, we're far below the privileges that rightly belong to us. Remember, you're chosen, you're exceptional, you're handpicked by God. You have everything you need. Unpack your bag, stir up your faith, forget about the pity party and the woe is me, and remember your royalty. And do your part and put your crown back on. I'm telling you, ladies, we are something. We're made in the image of God. We have the DNA of God inside of us. We got the Spirit of God in us. And He wants us to step up and take our place. And you know what? When you do, and I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Sometimes it's difficult to step out and do things that we haven't done before or do those things that He's asked us to do. Because sometimes we're going, God, you mean you really want me to do that? Are you sure that's what you want me to do? I can't do that. He says, yes, you can. I've put it inside you. Now get going and do what I've called you to do. Well, we got through 4.5 pages of the 20 pages of notes. Did that encourage you?
Yes.
I just want to encourage you, okay? We all are facing things. We've all been disappointed. Things haven't gone the way we had planned, you know? But we have to keep going. We have to be just like when the babies are starting to walk. They fall down, they get up. They fall down, they get up. They fall down, they get up. You know, they don't quit trying. Well, we need to do the same thing. God's got things for us to do. And yeah, we're going to make some mistakes along the way. And people are going to talk about us. They're going to make fun of us. They're going to call us Jesus freaks. They're going to do whatever. But God has something for us to do. And we need to stand up and put one foot in front of the other one and do it. Okay? Remember, this is what the prophecy said. He says, now he was speaking this first part to me. He says, thus says the Lord, for the anointing that came with your calling, I have elevated you to great authority, says the Lord. And in these women's meetings, just in the short time till they happen, I'm going to raise this entire church to another level because of the fire I will set through you among the women. He's going to start with us women. It'll burn in their homes, and their men will catch fire too, says the Lord. This is why this has come forth at this time and this season, for it will start with the women, and this is a good thing, says the Lord. And then he says, lovely are the daughters of Zion, for I've equipped them, I've trained them to do the work of the gospel, to do battle for their families, to do battle for their communities, and to do battle for their nations. That's what he's called us to do. Okay? He's broke the chains of slavery off of us, and he's saying, now go do this. So I encourage you, go do it. Okay? Be what he's called you to be. I don't care what anybody's said about you, and I don't care what you've done in the past. The past is past. We're looking toward the future, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, about looking toward the future. But I just want to tell you, you are called, you have an important role, and he needs you to do what he's called you to do. Okay? Can you do that? Are you encouraged? Did I help you see that you do have a calling? Okay? And he wants us women to step up and do what he's called us to do. And it doesn't matter if you're a mom, if you're a grandma, if you're a great-grandma, if you're single, it doesn't matter where you are, he's got something for you to do. Okay, and don't think it's a little thing. It's not. Any of those gifts and talents that he's placed in you, he's placed them in there for you to use them, to take them out into this world and use them. Okay? And wherever you meet, you know, I think sometimes we forget that we're out and about as ladies doing business, and we can touch people. When I'm at the bank, I'm making friends at the bank. I'm talking to the ladies at the bank. When we go out to eat, we're touching people all the time. We're being nice. We're reaching out to them. You know, you walk in a restaurant and they go, oh, well, Hannah wants you to sit in her section today because you were so nice to her last week. You're touching their lives. People need to know they're okay. Be nice. You know, I go into the bank sometimes. Of course, you know, the bank's a place where they're doing business and some people are, you know, they're upset. And I'm thinking, you know, you could be kind of nice. Man, they're giving those girls up. Well, those girls can't do anything about it. Okay? But let's be nice. I know we might have problems, but we can still be nice. We don't have to tell them what we think, you know? We can be nice. We're reaching our world. And so, let's be those kind of women that are out there touching lives and making a difference. Do I have any prayer requests tonight?